Accession number 20620, Reel 7.
Well, Mom said you couldn't say anything about them really if you didn't get in trouble. But if you got in trouble, they were the fellas there to take.
What sort of reputation did they have?
Well, some give them a rotten reputation, really. But, as I say, they had a job to do. They had a job to see that you didn't cause trouble, big trouble, or anything like that, or any desertions. If there's any desertions, they had to chase you from one end of the country to the other. They, same as everybody else, had a job to do, and they did it well.
And what did you think of, you were injured, of the RAMC. Did you have contact with them, Royal Army Medical Corps?
Only one fault he had with them. One big fault. And we always called them RAMC, Rob All My Comrades. I was put on a stretcher and had my small pack with me. And I'd been saving up cigarettes and chocolate for weeks, saving it up for if I got leave. And that's one thing I can honestly say I never got. I never got any leave. Not even before we went abroad in England, I can't remember going on leave. And I had all them Christmases away from home. And I had a small pack, and of course the Sergeant Major put it under my head. He said, "There you are, that's your small pack." He said, "Keep your eye on it." And by the time I came out of, the Canadian holding place, or going down in the train. Oh, and I also had two brand new uniforms, brand new they were. You got used to fiddling, like, you know, for uniforms and that. Mm-hmm. And I had two brand new uniforms and this pack. And I didn't have a thing when I got in the hospital. Somebody took them. A lot.
You think it was the RAMC?
Well, I can't say it was them, but it must have been the people that was looking after you. I don't know. I can't swear to it. But otherwise, they did a brilliant job.
I mean, did you have any contact with conscientious objectors?
None whatsoever. Mm. No, none whatsoever.
Because some of the holding stations, I think, were manned by
CEOs. I don't think I ever come across any.
They were more or less sent to Germany before they went away.
Yeah, but as she said, some were put in holding places, you bet to do certain jobs, you know.
I worked with the fellow that was a conscientious objector.
Mm. Yeah.
And he used to have to report to, you know, yeah. So often to prison. Mm.
So what about the people running the black market and so on at home? What did you think of them? The profiteers.
I hope you're not going to give me away. Well, I'll tell you the story whether I get roasted or not. When we was in Mönchengladbach, we were doing this job, like, we always found plenty of time because there was nowhere to go. So...
Do you like a biscuit?
So me and my mate, this was another lad. I've not got that photograph. I used to have it up in a better one time when we were both together. That Davis.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Davy, not Davis. Davy. He was a Welsh lad. And he said, you know, he said we could do some money, Bill, couldn't we? So I said, oh, you know, cameras or something like that, you know. He said, could do so. Any ideas? So, I don't know. I said, what do you think? He said, tell you what, this is why we thought it was bad, like, you know, really. So what we used to do, we used to have us, when we got our cigarettes, and it was in cellophane, we used to undo them very careful, and take the packet out, take the cigarettes out, and then we used to put cotton wool back in, and replace everything. Then when we'd done so many packets, we used to go out and black market. And that's when I think it was the British government, must have been, came down heavy on how much money British troops was making in German marks. So that's when they fetched the British mark out. They made a British mark out then, so they couldn't. That's how they fiddled it.
Yeah. And there was a lot of fiddling going on out there.
Oh my God! When the very first time in the war was over, what I can make out, as I say, I never got a leave, but I believe then they got leave on the boats. They were taking all sorts home, and they weren't bothering. Guitars, you name it, they were checking everything, they weren't pulling them up, got away with murder. Until it finished, they had to, they had to clamp down. Then it came out that anybody caught taking guns home, they was in trouble. And I believe there was thousands of pistols, you know, German Lugers, because they were a pistol that everybody loved, you know, threw them overboard, didn't they?
So, was there a lot of...
There was a lot of black market went on, yeah. Because you'd have the cameras and watches and one thing and another, you know. Mm. More than money itself, really. You know, you could get a good... For a packet of fags, you could get a good camera. Well, you know, the German cameras, they were good cameras. And the watches and that, they're brilliant. And I even got a pen, and I love that pen. And it was a kind of nib. It was twisted, a glass nib twisted. I'd already ever seen one, but I had that dinner, and I prized that pen. And my sister, now who's living now, I think she asked could she borrow it one time, and I never seen that pen again. Said she lost it, and I don't believe her, but I took pride in that. It was a beautiful writer, but it was a glass nib. Mm-hmm. And it's like a twisted nib.
Mm. What did it cost you?
Packet of fags. Mm. Mm. But
you were following up, you know, where troops were sweeping through a country. Did you see any looting or anything?
Any what?
Looting.
No, I think if there was any looting at all, it was more or less the lads that was up the front, you know, that was there first. Because when you got into these houses and that, really, I think the Germans had looted most of it anyway. The only thing you could probably get, without fear of contradiction, was wine. Wine was plentiful, especially if you found those beer cellars. Go down in there and a lot of wine was there.
So I've taken you a lot of places today, haven't I? I've taken you through a lot of places today.
Yeah, a lot of places, yeah.
You haven't talked like that for a long while.
I've not talked like that for a long while. You've got more out of me than ever dreamt of.
What have I been?
Because, as I say, it was the way you put it to me that it's been able to come out, you know. But now and again I forget things, and then you mention something and I remember something, you know. Because I'll admit I'm not the cleverest bloke for remembering anything, you know.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, it is a long time ago. Yeah. But
is there anything,
as you say, you bring things back.
Is there anything that you sort of remembered at lunchtime, you know, that you sort of thought, oh, I should have told her that, or, you know?
No, not really, because you've done such a good job on me, you know. Yeah, you've done a good job on me.
Yeah. What did your mother say when you came home?
Well, she's just glad to see me home and that, you know. And of course, I had better come home too. And I say, in them days, we got from pillar to post, and we worked hard between us. And what we worked hard for, this is what we've come to now. This is all
I
my
ended
own.
I ended up with a twisted ankle, didn't I, the day you got demobbed?
Yeah. Oh, I remember. Yeah. She got the telegram to say I was coming home, and she flew up next door's path to my mum, wasn't it?
Yeah, your
mother
mother
was in next door, and she rode up the path and catched an ankle.
In the ground. Yeah. I went down in it. My ankle was killing me, but I wouldn't stop going to the station.
Didn't stop her from coming.
Yeah. Well, I got the station, couldn't walk at all, so he ended up carrying me off the station to a taxi. I was in bed for 5 days after.
5 days, yeah.
doctor said I was lucky I hadn't broken it.
Do you think your life would have been very different if you hadn't been in the army?
Well, it's very hard to say, really. I don't know. My life changed for the good, I think, with her. Because I don't care who knows, she's brilliant. As regards being a wife. And her family, they're brilliant. My own family's good, but her family have been brilliant with me.
Yeah.
Treating me like a brother. You know. And they invite me down whenever I want to go down. And they come up here, visit me. If I go to Aylward to her sister's, I'll go on the bus or the train, and they say, no, don't get the train back. One of the lads will bring you home, and one of the lads will bring me home, you know. It's brilliant. I've no qualms whatsoever as regards my life now.
Good.
And I think, I can honestly say without fear of contradiction, she's done it for me.
Excellent. William Tichard, thank you very much. That's the end of Reel 6.